Well, it's good to be back here again with you at Smithfield Baptist. It's becoming a bit of a Christmas tradition for Chris and I to exchange pulpits on the Sunday prior to Christmas Day. It's very helpful to me. It means that I can prep my Christmas sermon over the last week, and then I'll preach it on Christmas Day, and what I'm preaching next Sunday I can prep over this week. So it's very helpful during a busy season for me that Chris kindly agrees to swap. And it also means that you can give me feedback today and I can correct things ready for my Christmas Day back at Des Moines. If you find something to be particularly unhelpful, please let me know. But if you find something to be particularly helpful this morning in my message, then please let me know as well. It's always wonderful to hear how the Lord has used something I have said. If you do not know me, I'm Joel Radford. I'm the pastor at Des Moines Baptist Church, and I do love visiting Smithfield. It feels like, I've said before, a second home to me. It's a wonderful church to be a part of. We pray for you regularly, and it's wonderful to see the Lord answering those prayers every time I visit. Well, let's come before God in prayer and ask for his help as we look at his word together, and we'll be particularly looking at Luke's gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and what it reveals about yourself to us. Lord, we thank you that your word reveals that you are love. And so, Lord, in accordance with your love, preserve our lives as we consider your word together this morning. And Lord, we pray that we would grow in our love for you as a result of looking at your word, and also our love for one another. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, this morning I encourage you to have your Bibles open at Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1 in particular, and we'll be considering the powerful work that God does in this passage that we hear about from many years ago. Firstly, we understand that God does a powerful work at the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 1, where we didn't read it together, but the account is given of Elizabeth and Zachariah. Elizabeth and Zachariah, and how they were able to have a child, even though Elizabeth was barren and well along in years. If you look back with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 7, after speaking about who Zachariah and Elizabeth are, we read in verse 7, but they had, that's that couple, no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. But then we understand the angel comes, the angel of the Lord appears to Zachariah at the temple, and she becomes pregnant with the prophet John the Baptist. John the Baptist comes as a result of the Lord's work in Elizabeth and Zachariah. And this is something that is quite remarkable, given that she is much older and she hadn't been able to have children. But then we see an impossible work is actually done in chapter 1. A powerful work is done in Elizabeth and Zachariah's lives by the birth of John the Baptist. But we also understand that an impossible work is done with Mary, because Mary is a virgin, but she becomes pregnant, even though she does not know a man before she becomes pregnant. And we see this is very clearly stated for us in chapter 1, verse 27. Chapter 1, verse 27, verse 26 tells us that an angel comes to Mary, and it is in verse 27 we read, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. We see the emphasis again and again on the fact that she is a virgin, but then we see that she becomes pregnant. And the angel promises this to her in verse 31. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. This virgin becomes pregnant. A barren woman is having a child is one thing, a virgin is totally different. But we understand that the birth does indeed take place. And if you look over in chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, that while Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, and we read, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she, that is Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. We see that the angel said that she would be pregnant, and it indeed took place, and this baby is born. And we don't need an obstetrician to tell us that a virgin birth is impossible. Despite all the technological advances we have in our healthcare and reproductive healthcare today, you still can't have a baby without a mum and a dad. There are different things that they can do today, but you still need a dad if you're going to have a baby. And the first century people weren't gullible. Mary knows that this is impossible as well. We don't think that we look back and we're so superior, we know that it can't take place. They knew that it couldn't take place as well. And Mary knew that it couldn't take place. And we see that in verse 34. We read, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin, since I have not known a man." She knows that it can't take place. And Joseph, her fiancé, also knows that this is an impossibility. It's not like they're gullible. He was ready to divorce her. If we read in Matthew chapter 1, he was ready to divorce her, and the only thing that stopped him from divorcing Mary, from breaking off the engagement, was an angel appearing to him and telling him that this is of God. And that tells us how this is possible for a virgin to become pregnant. The only way for a virgin to become pregnant is that the baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's what the angel does in response to Mary's question. He tells her how this can take place. Look with me at verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." It is only by the Holy Spirit that this virgin can become pregnant. And the big answer that is given to Mary after she asks this question, she says, "How can this be?" He says, "It's because of the Holy Spirit." And then we have this wonderful verse, verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. How is it that a virgin can become pregnant? It's because nothing is impossible with God. And this is an encouraging verse for us to hear today. This is an encouraging verse because we find that there are impossible things in our lives. What is impossible for you at the moment? What are you finding to be impossible? Maybe it's life in general. Maybe it's something specific in your life at the moment that you are finding to be simply impossible. I'll give you two things that we often find to be impossible in this life that we're conscious of even from a young age. It can be a particular sin that we're struggling with. There's a sin that we just continue to engage in, and it seems to be impossible to defeat that sin, to stop sinning in that way. Or is it death itself? There's two things that you can consider impossible in your life. As you grow up, you understand again and again that sin is something that you just can't seem to defeat, and death itself. Even children from a very young age, they learn what's impossible for them. They learn that they can acquire increasing abilities as the baby works out that hand belongs to him and he can reach out and grab things. But he starts to learn that there are things that he can't do. As he watches a bird fly up in the air, he realizes he can't fly up in the air no matter how quickly he flaps his little hands. But children soon learn that there are things that are impossible for them, like flying and other things, like death, defeating death. Children become quite conscious of death and how is it impossible to defeat death. Children can be quite concerned that their parents will die, and they consider it and mull it over and get quite upset about the fact that their parents can die and it's impossible to bring them back. And we meditate upon it as well. And we realize, even as adults, that it is impossible for us to defeat death. Why do we know it is impossible for us to defeat death? Because people have tried again and again to defeat death, to hang on and not die. And then we see that there's lots of money invested to try and defeat death. We see this with all the costly activities that are done of vaccines and healthcare and lockdowns and exercise and diets. Many of these things are even new experiences for us in this last year. Never would have thought I'd see the lockdowns that occurred in Australia, but it's in an effort to defeat death. But does a lockdown defeat death? Will a vaccine defeat death? No, at best, all these actions, these costly actions that humans make, that adults make, they only hold it off. They can only delay death. They can't defeat death. Death is an impossible enemy which we cannot defeat. And we become increasingly conscious of it as we go through life. Children are conscious of it somewhat, but it's more for their parents rather than for themselves. But as you get older and older and older, you become more and more conscious of your own death and the impossibility of defeating it. Is there any hope for us as we face these impossible things? I'm not talking about flying, I'm talking about sin that we want to defeat often. And particularly as we come into New Year's, we often make New Year's resolutions. This year I'm going to do better, but each year we fail. We can't defeat those sins, or as we consider our own death. And we've been very conscious of death this year with the COVID situation. Is there any hope for us? Yes, there is. With God. And that is what the verse tells us, isn't it? This verse that is so encouraging for us this morning. Verse 37. For nothing is impossible with God. It's got to be with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And this makes sense when we consider who God is. God is the creator of all. God is the sustainer of all. He is the one who keeps things going. All things hold together through him. So when we consider who he is, this verse makes sense. Nothing is impossible for him. If he desires it, it is possible for him to do it because he is the creator. He is the one who keeps all things running. We learn at Sunday school or even in scripture. I learned this one in scripture, this song. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. There is nothing my God cannot do. That's true. Even learn the actions, don't you? My God is so big. Isn't it big, strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. Is that the actions? Yeah, my wife nods, it must be true. So, yes, we learn this from a young age. There's nothing my God cannot do. That's true. And this verse reminds us of that fact. With God, it is actually possible for us to do the impossible, including those great impossibilities that I mentioned. We can actually defeat sin. We can defeat death with God, with his Spirit. Interesting how the virgin birth comes about. How does the virgin birth come about? The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God, by his Holy Spirit, can make the impossible possible. We can defeat sin with the Spirit of God. We can defeat death with the Spirit of God. And how do we know it's true? Because of the virgin birth. The virgin birth reminds us every Christmas, it's a wonderful tradition really that comes around again and again every year to remind us that God can do anything. There's nothing our God cannot do. That's true. And the virgin birth reminds us of it every year. That what God wants to do, if he desires something, he can do it in your life and in the lives of others. And this is what God's Son desired. Those two great impossibilities for us, to defeat sin, to defeat death. That is why the Son of God came of the virgin, is to defeat those two great impossibilities for man. Jesus grew up. And he said, I have come that they, that's his sheep, may have life and have it to the full. Why did Jesus come? To do the impossible, to give life to his sheep so that they could defeat death. Jesus, by one action, defeated both of those impossibilities for us to do. He defeated sin at the cross. He paid for our sin. And if you pay for sin, what does that mean? You can have eternal life because the wages of sin is death. But if sin is paid for, then death is paid for, and you can actually have eternal life. So Jesus, by coming into this world, he did the impossible for us, but it was possible for him as God. He defeated sin, and in defeating sin, he defeated death. And so when we're faced with the impossible, what are we to remember? We are to remember the Christmas miracle, the Christmas miracle. Why? Because the virgin birth tells us that nothing God desires is impossible for him. And that means that if we are with him, it says there, not it's everything's possible for everybody. No, it's for those who are with God. The impossible becomes possible. God himself came and took on flesh and dwelt amongst the people of this world. And that reminds us that there is nothing that is impossible for those who are with God. No sin is too hard to defeat. No death is too great for us to come back from. Now, there's an illustration that may help you today, and I'm careful about using this illustration, but we'll see how it goes, and you can give me feedback afterwards, whether I should use it on Christmas Day. But I like to actually play some video games with my son. I used to play them as a young adult, but I gave them away. But now that my son has grown up a bit, we can actually play video games together, and that's the only time I actually do it. And there's some military video games that I play, where you basically go around shooting aliens. And the way that you can do it is you can play solo, where you play just on your own and go off. But there's also co-op, where I can actually play with my son. And so we both have a gun, and we both go into the battle together, and we're both fighting on the same side. And on some levels, in some video games, you can actually drive a tank, which has a cannon, a massive cannon, which basically just shoots major rockets at the enemy and blows them to smithereens. And in such a situation, the other player really doesn't have to do much in the game, because the cannon just drives in, blows everything up, and you just keep on going. And the other person's just there basically taking some pot shots at the enemy and just having a bit of a fun along the way. Or at most, the most help he can give is basically telling the cannon where to shoot. Go a little bit to the left, go a little to the right, go higher, lower, based on where the enemy is. So basically you're just a scout for the other player, calling in where he should rain fire down upon the enemy. And it's great fun, even for the person who's not in the tank, because you get to watch the enemy be blown to smithereens, and you also know that you're going to finish the level, that this is going to be easy. This level is going to be cinched. As long as we keep this tank in good health and it doesn't get destroyed, we should be okay. And I think that's a helpful illustration for us to understand what it's like to have God on our side, what it's like for God to be on our side. Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want to say that life is just like a video game. It's not. It's far more than that. But I think the illustration of the situation where you've got a tank with you is helpful for us to understand what it is to have God on our side. God is like player one. He is like player one with the tank. And God can destroy any enemy immediately. As soon as he pulls the trigger, it's down. By raining down the Holy Spirit on whatever situation we are in, no enemy is impossible for us to defeat. And we are player two. We don't have to do much. We don't have to do anything, really, to win. We're just taking pot shots at the enemy. The most we actually do is call out to player one to help us in whatever situation we're faced that just seems to be a great impossibility. How do we do that? Well, it's by prayer. We call on God to help us with a particular sin that we're just struggling with. We can't seem to overcome. We call on him, and what does he do? Well, he can do a couple of things. Player one can do a couple of things. He can respond with the cannon. He can send the Holy Spirit down and defeat whatever problem you have, whatever sin you're struggling with, whatever fear you have, whatever doubt you have, whatever impossible person is in your life, whether it be a boss, a family member, a friend, a next door neighbour, he can call down fire immediately and sort it all out for you. But sometimes player one, he may operate in a different way. He may actually bring some other players into the battle with you. Players 3, 4, 5, and 6, he allows them into the game. And who are they? They're your brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're there to help you in with whatever impossible situation you're in. Whatever sin you're struggling with, he can bring other players along to encourage you and help sort out whatever is going on. And that's part of the way he operates. But even if God doesn't fire the cannon and we don't win our little skirmish that we're in with the enemy, we can still rejoice. We can still rejoice. Why? Because we know we're going to complete the level. We're going to finish. And we're going to win this world, in this world. We're going to come out better in the next life. We're going to level up because God defeats our enemies. The tank has defeated the biggest problem of all, death. It has. God has defeated death for us. How do we know this? We've seen what the tank can do. We see it in the pages of this Bible this morning, that he can make a virgin become pregnant with God himself. And not only that, as you continue to read the Bible and continue to read Luke's gospel, you see that boy, he grows up sinless in a sinful world. He does the impossible. He doesn't sin at all. And not only that, we see that he goes to the cross and dies the death that we deserve. He experiences hell on the cross and then is raised to life. We have testimony after testimony in this book that we are going to win because we are with God. And then in your own life, how many impossible things have come across your path, and yet by coming to God and asking for his help, the impossible has become possible. You have defeated enemy after enemy. You have defeated even sins in your life. And they're gone and they're removed. And so you know that one day you are going to level up for sure. You're going to heaven. You're going to win this round. It's a long round. It could be up to 80, 90, maybe 100 years. It's a long situation you're in here. But you are going to level up and be okay because the tank, player one, has made sure that death is defeated. And so then what happens as we rejoice, even when we may be failing in defeating the enemy and the tank isn't helping us as we would like, we rejoice because we know that the greatest enemy is defeated. The greatest impossibility is defeated. That is death itself. And so we rejoice and then we are led to praise. Why? Because it's God who wins the victories for us. God who wins the victory over sin at the cross. God who wins the victory over death. He is the one who has done it all. What are we like? We're like a child who is happy to play the game with Dad. That I got to have a turn. I got to be in the game. I got to enjoy being there with my father and fight the enemy and watching him often blow the enemy to smithereens. I got to enjoy being with Dad. And so I'm like a child whose face is shining. After we complete the level, or even while we're going through the level, my face is shining, saying, we are going to win. We are going to win because I am with player one and he has a tank. And it's all going to be okay. And I look forward to that time where I will go into the next level and I will say, I have won with my father, with my father. And so I give him the glory because at the end of the day, I know I didn't do anything. He was the one who won it all. So are you finding life impossible? It's coming up to the Christmas season, coming up to the new year. Are there things that you're finding impossible in your life? Is there a sin that you're particularly struggling with? And you just think, I can't stop it. I can't fight and stop fighting with that person. I can't stop that sin. Or are you afraid of death? You're fearful of it and you think it's impossible. I cannot come back from the grave. And it troubles you and scares you. Are you finding life impossible? Why is that? Is it because you are not playing with player one? You're not in co-op mode. You're in solo mode. You're playing the campaign by yourself. And so of course you're not going to win. Of course it is impossible for you. Life is impossible because you are going up against death and sin and all the other struggles in this world of Satan against you, the world against you, your own flesh against you. It's like you're going up with fists when what is required is a tank. And you are just going on your own. So of course it is impossible. Of course you're ready for despair to creep over your mind. Don't you know that this life is impossible to win at if you are without God? Without God and his Holy Spirit, you cannot win. It is a complete impossibility. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never united with God. You've never united with God in the impossible fight. Then my encouragement to you this morning is unite with player one today. Unite with player one today. Stop trying to be player one yourself. You're going to get nowhere. Unite with player one, with God himself in the tank that fires down the Holy Spirit upon every impossible thing in our world. Unite with him. How do you do that? How do you unite with the one who makes all things possible by his Holy Spirit? Well, come to him now. Come to God now. Confess your need for help. Confess that you are troubled by the sin in your life. Confess you are troubled by the death that you know will catch up with you eventually. Confess that to him now. Ask him for forgiveness for the sins that you have committed against him. And trust that Jesus Christ paid for your sins so long ago. It's a free gift that he gives you. Forgiveness of sins, if you will simply accept it by trusting that he died in your place. And then what do? Call on the cannon from that tank. Call on God himself to send his Holy Spirit to whatever problem is in your life. And unite with players 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that God puts in your life. Where do you find them? They're at the church, a local church. Commit to a local church. Because God loves to surround us with other players in our fight against the impossible things of this world so that they become possible as we unite together while he, as player one, continues to pour out his spirit upon our lives. But that's if you've never united with Christ before. You've never united with God. You've never been with him. So, of course, life has been impossible. But maybe for some of you, you've united with God in the past, but you've backslidden of late. You used to do life in co-op mode with God, but not so much lately. You've certainly not been calling in the big guns to help you in your fight with sin, and you've not been calling on brothers and sisters to come and help you fight either at your local church. What's my encouragement for you today? Repent of not crying out to God for his help, for not crying out to player one to come with his tank and blow the enemies that you're fighting to smithereens. And call on him now, lay it all out before him and say, I've been fighting in this life on my own again. I haven't been playing in co-op mode with you, cooperative mode. I've been fighting solo and I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for not being more prayerful and asking for you to help me with the impossible, to make the impossible possible. And call for help from players 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ask them to come into your life and help you in your fight as God moves them to help you. And then rejoice in the victories that he gives us. Rejoice in the victories that he gives you in this world. And rejoice in the victory that you know that you have over death. That you will level up one day. You will make it to heaven because the tank is with you. And with God, nothing is impossible. We get to play the game with Dad and win. We get to play and win. We know we are winners. We will win because with God, nothing is impossible. And so give glory to him. So this Christmas, I encourage you, look at the virgin birth. Why? Because it tells us that the impossible happened with God. The impossible happened with God. There lies the answer to every impossible problem in your life. God is with those who love him and trust in him, and they will always win. In that game I play with my son, there's other, what do you call them, CPUs, in part of the game. And they're soldiers that are around you on your side and they're fighting. And when you've got the tank, there's some of the soldiers make little comments. And one of them says, tanks are awesome, as you blow something up. And it's true, in the game, it seems awesome. But what's really awesome? I think that word is overused. But there's one context in which it is rightly used. God is awesome. Tanks are awesome, yes. But God is awesome. And that's what we need to remember at Christmas. God is awesome. He is the one who does the impossible. He is the one who defeats sin. He is the one who defeats death. Our God is awesome. And that's what we need to remember every Christmas. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you as the God of the impossible. We ask that you would forgive us for not trusting you with the impossible problems of this life. And we think particularly of sin and we think of death. These are two impossibilities for us to defeat on our own. We see again and again our failings. We see again and again the fear in our lives as we consider our own death and the death of others. Help us to remember the virgin birth. and so unite with you, and therefore defeat sin and defeat death, and then rejoice, giving you the glory, because with you all things are possible. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.